I'll say this. You better be careful who you listen to when they try to instruct you to do something. I was sitting there by Amy, Brother Dave's daughter, when Lindsay said, "Scoot over and huddle up." And I said, "Are you married?" She said, "No." I said, "I am." It's not lawful for us to hurt. It is a blessing to be here. I realize what an awesome responsibility that Brother Don has asked me to come here and preach to you. I take this very seriously. I want you to turn with me this evening to a very familiar passage of Scripture over in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. I want to read to you this evening the account, the incident that took place, beginning in verse 46, of a man who came to the Lord Jesus blind, received his sight, and followed the Lord in the way. Let's begin reading in Mark chapter 10, in verse 46. "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I may receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Mainly, I want to look at this evening as it concerns the difficulty that this man had coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. I could, I guess, and maybe would be a blessing to spiritualize this. I know many preachers have. They've looked at Jericho as being under the curse, destroyed. This world has been destroyed. It's under the curse. But the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven. He come to this cursed earth, was made a curse, went back to heaven, and here we are as blind sinners, unable to know God, unable to see the gospel as it's so clearly revealed in the Scripture. We need eyes to see. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that's able to open our understanding. And I'm sure that we could look at that this evening, and that would be a great blessing to us. But really what I want to do this evening is look at this just as it took place. I want to look at it really from a physical standpoint. Blind Bartimaeus was a real man. He had some real problems. And out of his troubles, he made his way to the Son of God, had his eyes opened, and literally, physically followed the Lord Jesus Christ in the way. Now that's how I want to look at that this evening for the most part. The trouble he really had. I'm interested in that because I'm interested in men and women coming to Christ. I've came myself. And it gives me a measure of joy if I can hear or if I can see that others are coming to Christ. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And there's joy in heaven and joy in this earth when you and I see men come to the Christ that we set forth. But the main reason I want to look at this evening, hopefully, just as it happened to instruct the lost. That's what I really feel like doing this evening. You never preach to the lost, but what you're blessing to God's saints. Because just as you had a time in your life when you came to the Lord Jesus, you're still coming to Him. And there was a time when you came to Him and you probably experienced some difficulty in coming. And I'm sure you would tell me that you still experience some difficulty in coming. So I want this evening, if the Lord will help me, to seek maybe to encourage the lost, maybe those who have never come to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved by Him. Maybe some who are maybe thinking about coming to Christ. Maybe those who have tried to come and got discouraged in trying to come to Him. Or those who want to come and don't know how. Coming to Christ must not be all that easy, really. It must not be all that easy. When you and I consider the multitudes that aren't coming at all, it must be that it's not that simple. It's simple in the Word. It's plain in the Word. But you and I are so carnal. We're so dead in trespasses and sins. If it were so simple as some tell us, then wouldn't multitudes be coming? If it was as plain as some tell us, if it was as easy. And what about those that we find in the Scripture that seemingly begin to come and went back? Those who were disappointed, those who were offended, those who seemed to come for a while or follow a while, and like a sow that was washed, they went back to their wallowing in the mire. Or what about those who have come to Christ and been saved by Him, and what they'll tell you of the difficulty they had in coming to Him? Now, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ is simply making a decision for Christ. That may be easy. If coming to the Lord Jesus is simply walking down this aisle and making a profession of faith and being baptized in water, that may be easy. If coming to Christ is simply, in my mind, believing a system of theology, that may be easy. But if coming to the Lord Jesus Christ means that with all my heart, I believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, who was crucified, buried, and rose again, and with all my heart, I believe in Him for righteousness. That I so believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that I, who was condemned, in an instant find myself standing before God and willing to stand there too, uncondemned. Amen. That all my sins, which was upon my conscience, I have so believed in the Lord Jesus Christ that now I have peace with God and I have seen all of those sins put away in His blood. That's what I mean in coming to Christ, to be saved by Him. It's believing in the Lord Jesus Christ with all the heart that you know that God is now a tender and merciful Father to you. He is not displeased with you anymore. He has accepted you in the Beloved. That's what I mean by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Coming to Christ. Being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How is our sins put from our conscience? By faith in Christ. Listen at this verse in Acts chapter 10, verse 43. To Him gave all the prophets witness that through His name, through His merits, through His sufferings, through His blood shedding, through His intercession at the right hand of the Father, through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission for sin. That's what I mean by believing in Christ. Not working to put your sins away. Not seeking to merit anything. But so believing in Christ that you see your sins are gone in His blood. Now it's impossible to believe that. It's impossible to believe Him. It's impossible to come to Him apart from grace. But those who have so come to Him and believed on Him with all their heart, they'll testify that it's still difficult to come by grace. And not only when you initially come to the Lord Jesus, but sometimes still this day when you come. You tell me, you say, Bruce, I've come to the Lord Jesus. I've come to God by Him. I have no difficulty. That may be so. I won't doubt that. But you're the exception and not the rule. Now, here's some things I want us to look at this evening for just a few minutes concerning the difficulty that this man had. And first of all, we find this about him, that he had a very narrow window of time that he could come. Did you notice as I read this here, the Scripture says in verse 46, the Lord Jesus was just passing by. Did you notice that? Our Lord was never still. He was always on the move. We have two or three times that He came here to Jericho, but He never stopped. We're told that He entered and He passed through Jericho. And that's what He was doing here. He was just passing by. As He went, is what the Holy Spirit said. As He went. And here was a blind man who was a beggar. I doubt seriously if this man ever ventured far outside this city. I don't know if he physically ever come this close to Christ before. But there was one thing for certain. This was his opportunity to get the Lord's attention. And if he did not get his attention now, he may never. There was a narrow window of opportunity in which this man could call on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he felt it to be so. This man felt in his soul, this is now or never. That's anxious. Anxious. I think we could conclude this evening, as far as this man was concerned, he must come to Jesus Christ this very instant, or he may never come at all. And that's why he cried out. That's why he hollered, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. And when he faced this opposition to be still and to be quiet, he cried out the more, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Why did he do that? He was anxious. If he had not have been anxious, he could have thought within himself, he'll be back through here tomorrow. Why not just wait? Why not listen to the crowd? I'll have another opportunity tomorrow. He didn't feel that way. It's now or never. Why? Christ is on His way. Christ is passing by. Why do I emphasize this evening? Why don't we tell young people, go ahead, you're a young teenager, go ahead and enjoy life. Go ahead and sow your wild oats. You've got plenty of time. You can marry a wife or you can find a husband and you can concern yourself about your education and get in a job. Take a vacation, enjoy and relax and lay aside some money for your retirement. When you're older, you can be concerned about these things of the soul. When you're older, you can settle down and you can listen to the gospel. Why don't we tell people that? We have a man in the gospel that tried that.
He thought he would try that. His crops came in. He reaped a great harvest. And he sat down in his desk late one night and was figuring up how much money he was going to have for his retirement. And he said, I've got many goods laid up for a long time. Sold is take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, you fool. You presumptuous fool. Nobody has the promise of tomorrow. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Today, if you will, hear His voice. Harden not your heart. I think it would be presumptuous on my part to think that the Lord Jesus Christ healed every blind man in the city of Jericho. As far as we know, two or maybe three at the most, and He passed by the rest of them. And brothers and sisters, it would be presumptuous of us this evening to think that the gospel of God's grace is going to be preached at this place a year from now. And if the gospel is preached here, it would be presumptuous on our part to think the Holy Spirit's going to give me a hearing ear and an understanding heart. Come into the Lord Jesus Christ. Hearing the gospel of the words of eternal life is an opportunity. It's a gracious opportunity. Because it's one God owes no man. God owes no man that. One of the things I despise the most about free will is this presumption. God owes us a call. God owes us a chance. God owes us nothing but judgment. That's all He owes us. Men think they can go through life carefree, in rebellion, neglect of the gospel, neglect coming to Christ for the salvation of their soul, and when they're old and on their deathbed, all they have to do is say, God, forgive me, and He owes me that. A man told me one time, a dear friend of mine, not long before he died, he said, you know, I've always had the opinion that me and God was walking together. Our paths were running parallel. And all I had to do when I got ready is just to step out of my path into His path. It's not that way, folks. It's not that way. Oh, God, help us this evening to be anxious about coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Second thing this man faced was this. There was a great number of people with the Lord Jesus. Did you notice that? His disciples and a great multitude, a great number of people. It was next to impossible for blind Bartimaeus to make his way to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think sometimes we forget how difficult it was physically to get to the Lord. It was almost impossible. You could probably get to the president quicker than you could get to him sometimes. Remember one time the Lord was preaching, there were so many people in the house. They brought a friend. He was paralyzed. Had him on a bed, and they couldn't get him to the Lord. They had to take him up on the ceiling and bust up the roof and let him down in for the Lord to heal him. That woman with an issue of blood that came to the Lord, she had to press her way through that crowd just to be able to touch the hem of His garment. And here was this blind man who was hindered from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ by this crowd. Where they did it ignorantly, where they did it knowingly, they hindered him from coming to Christ. I'm amazed, but there's something I've almost come to expect. Anytime somebody begins to express an interest in the gospel, you talk to them through the week, and they said, I'll be there Sunday morning. I'll be there. I'm interested in this. I'm concerned about the Word of God, about my soul, about being right with God. But you come Saturday night, you come Sunday morning, and something happens. And sometimes it seems so legitimate. Well, I just can't make it. I can't make it. The Scripture refers to that sometimes as those cares of this life. The thorns that springs up and chokes the Word. It becomes unprofitable, unfruitful. I've been on the way a few years now. And I've learned there's many things that will sidetrack us from seeking the good of our souls. A lot of things. But I've also learned this. No matter what it costs you, no matter what stands in your way of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved by Him, be anxious about getting past that. Be anxious about getting over that, through that, around that. I wouldn't discourage anybody this evening. That's not my purpose in saying what I'm saying. Not my purpose to discourage anybody from coming. But I must tell you the truth. Hell is opposed to your salvation. The devil and all his fallen angels live for this one purpose. To make sure you don't get to Christ. This world is against your coming to Christ. You're living in a nature, a fallen nature, that's opposed to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is opposed to your salvation. And if you cannot get to the Lord Jesus Christ over all of this, then you'll be lost forever. Many charged him. He had men in front of him. Hold your peace. He had men behind him pulling him back. Hold your peace. Hold your peace. Hold my peace. I can't see a lick. I'm in blindness. I've lived my life in darkness. I've never seen the sun. And the only one that can give me my sight is just before me. And you're telling me to shut my mouth? At what cost? What does a man have to do not to be saved? Just hold his peace. Just let something get in your way from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all you have to do. You don't have to live in rebellion to be lost. You don't have to argue against God to be lost. Just neglect to come to Christ. Just neglect to believe on Him with all your heart. That's all it takes. Hold your peace. I'm on the brink of eternity. I have no hope. I'm without God in this world. God's law is calling for my eternal overthrow. Justice is standing in view. My conscience is guilty. My sins upon me, and hold my peace. Oh, thou son of David. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Well, here's the third thing. This man was blind. He was physically blind. Now imagine what a dilemma this man was in. He was blind. You know, he really couldn't tell for sure where the Lord Jesus was. He was blind. And all the noise going on, he may have been crying, Lord Jesus! Thou son of David, have mercy. And the Lord may have been over here. He couldn't see him. He didn't really know where he was. He just knew he was in that general location. But he didn't know how to get there. And he sure couldn't see him. I asked a fellow one time. I said, why don't you come to Christ? And you know what he told me? He said, I don't know how. I don't know how. I wept over that. I don't know how, he said. There's a lot of people concerned about coming to Christ. But they're so spiritually blind, They're caught up in such darkness in their thoughts, they don't know how to come to Christ. They've got so discouraged and almost despair with even thinking about coming. Let this encourage you, dear soul. If you're here tonight and you're in that condition, let these words encourage you. There was a man here in our text that couldn't see a lick. Yet he got the Lord's attention, if you will. That don't seem to set much with my theology. I don't know how to get it in. But he got the Lord's attention. And the Lord opened his eyes and he followed Jesus in the way just as well as James and John and all those other disciples. Now, won't that encourage you?
Amen.
When your poor mind seems so blinded that all around you is dark, lay hold upon this precious promise. The Lord has given you this promise. I will bring the blind by a way they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things will I do and never forsake you, he said. Let that promise be an encouragement to you. Let this encourage you. Though you do not, perhaps now, and you cannot see the Lord, he can see you. You say, I can't see him. They tell me that he must be revealed to my understanding. I can't see him. I can't see him in the Scriptures. I can't see him through the eyes of my understanding. Perhaps you can't, but he can see you. And you may not see clearly how to come to him, but he sees clearly how to bring you. Let that be a comfort to you. And let this be a comfort to you, dear soul. There's others that have been right where you are now. There's others who have experienced the darkness that you're experiencing right now. And yet they have come to the Lord Jesus Christ and now are following him in the way. Our Lord delights in mercy. But not only does he delight in mercy, but he delights to manifest mercy. And he'll not be sought in vain. Your great misery will only serve to draw out great mercy. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy. And when he manifests mercy, you'll learn what this man learned. When he heard the name of Jesus, he associated it with mercy. Mercy. I hear Brother Mahan say one time years ago, nothing ever stopped the Son of God in his tracks but a wretched blind beggar. Nobody else did it. Pharisees never did it. Herod that fox couldn't do it. Pilate couldn't do it. But this poor, wretched, blind man stopped the Son of God in his tracks. And lastly is this. He was a beggar. He was a real beggar. He begged for his living. Ragged, dirty, beggar. Couldn't help anybody. He's the one always in need of help. Had no influence with anybody. He didn't have any favors he could call in. Had no leverage to negotiate. Nothing to bring to the table. He was a blind man. A crowd stood in his way from coming to the Lord to be healed. And he had nobody to help him to get there. He is in a pitiful shape. Nobody could go to Jesus Christ for him. Why would they? He was a beggar. He couldn't harm to do it. He couldn't persuade him to do it. He had no influence. Nobody listened to him. They avoided him. He was a beggar. He couldn't lay hold of somebody and say, you owe me. Go to this man and bring him here to me. He can heal me. Or take me to him. He had no friends. He was a beggar. If he was to get to Christ, he had to come himself. Brothers and sisters, there's a mediator between God and man. And God looks upon it as being a most horrid sin for those who seek to approach unto Him apart from this mediator. But there's no mediator between us and Jesus Christ. We go right to Him ourselves. And we go right to God by Him. It's cruel sometimes, at least people think it is, when a pastor has to tell someone under conviction for sin, "I can't help you." That sounds cruel, don't it? I remember what it was like to be lost. Go to a pastor, "I can't help you." "Well, you mean you can't help you?"